Video again.
Oh. Good evening, everyone.
Hello, John.
Hi.
Okay, I'm out. Wait, let me get that bigger.
I'm good.
Now, you know, bottom left down there is
Yeah, I'm good. Got it.
good.
How you feeling, John?
You good?
Yeah, okay.
Hey,
I'm
bye.
good. Bye. Hey, Laura, did you get the memo on Colgate?
Yeah, I sent it. I'm double checking now, John, but yeah. Reports. Yes, I got it on May 12th. We got it, John.
I got 7:30, Law.
Okay, just one quick announcement. Anybody who is an attendee, if you are here for an application,
Laura, do you hear me?
yes, John, we can hear you. If you're a professional for an application, raise your hand and I can make you a participant because I don't know if you're a participant or not. Mr. Wilder? Okay. Are there any other professionals that need to be become? Okay. All right. I think we're good, Chairman.
Okay.
Thank you.
Zoning
Go ahead.
Board of Adjustment
Hi.
meeting will
I'm
please
not
come to
getting
order.
their audio. They're
Adequate
not.
notice of this meeting was provided in the
Although.
following ways. Notice published in the Courier News. Notice posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. Notice made available to the township clerk. Notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Ready. Mr. Tillery?
Here.
Mr. Patel?
Here.
Mr. Reggio? I don't think he was going to make it. Mr. Mitterondo?
Here.
Well, yeah, but
Mr.
still
Ali?
not working.
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes, here. Will everyone please stand for a salute to the flag?
Pledge allegiance to
the flag of the United States of America.
Amen.
Mr. Keneally, are there any changes to tonight's agenda?
I am not aware of any changes to the agenda.
Good. Let's proceed. Let's go to item number five. 23-ZB-42V, Atif Jubida Qureshi?
Yes. Yes, that's me.
Okay.
Sir, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand?
Yes, I like that.
You swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes,
your
I do.
Name and address, please.
20, my name is Atif Qureshi. My address is 20 Ambrose Valley Lane, Piscataway, 08854.
Thank you. You can put your hand down and explain to the board why you're here.
I'm here because...
For the fencing.
For the fencing.
Yeah.
Yes, fine.
Yeah,
this is
I'm
a
here,
for
on
Your
mute,
Honor,
so
my wife does everything, but she asked, she put me in front.
Okay, Mr. Qureshi, do you understand that if access to the easement is necessary, you're responsible for removing and replacing the fence?
I agree, Your Honor.
That's all that I have, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Henry, no other issues?
Nope, that was the only issue.
Okay, fair enough. Any other members of the board have any questions about this application or comments? Hearing and seeing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any questions or comments about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Hearing none, I'm going to close the public portion and make a motion to approve this application.
I'll second.
Please call the roll.
1 sec. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterondo?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Qureshi, your application has been approved. We will memorialize it in a document at our next meeting and send that document to you.
Thank you so much, Your Honor.
Good luck.
I can get off?
Yes, you're all done.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good evening. Let's move to item number six, 23-ZB-49V, Makesh and Akita Sethi.
Here.
Right here.
Hi, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, sir.
We do.
One at a time, could I have your name and address, please?
Mukesh Sethi, 35 Ballas Lane, Piscataway, New Jersey, 08854.
Thank you.
Akita Sethi, 35 Ballas Lane, Piscataway, New Jersey, 08854.
Thank you. Could one of you explain to the board what you'd like to do here?
I'd like to retroactively get approval for existing front porch with roof. This is how we bought the house back in 2008. And
Mr. Sethi, could you raise your volume a little bit or speak closer to the microphone?
Yeah, we are seeking retroactively approval for existing front porch with roof on top.
Okay.
This is how we purchased the house back in 2008, as is. The roof was there, so I have submitted that image when we purchased the house, the listing of the house, and we were correctly getting approval for that.
Did you have an opportunity to look at Mr. Hinterstein's site impact dated May 16th of this year? Henry, why don't you tell him what you said on there, please?
Yeah, I mean, really, there's only a couple of conditions. I don't see any issues with this. Obviously, they bought the house like this. I looked at the other homes in the area. There are some other porches. The only condition would be is that the porch is to remain open on all sides. We don't have a problem with the roof, but it shouldn't be enclosed. And the only other condition would be is that you're going to need to pull a building permit and just have the porch inspected by the building department to make sure that it was constructed properly. They'll come out and do an inspection. And that's for your protection as well as the township's protection. We don't want to see something that was constructed without a permit being faulty. If you get your approval, just take that resolution, file for the building permit, have them come out and inspect it, tell them you bought the house that way. If there's any issues, they'll let you know.
And are you agreeable with that?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other members of the board have any questions or comments? Hearing and seeing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the general public have any questions or comments about this application?
No one, Chairman.
All right. Close the public portion and make a motion to approve this application. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Your application has been approved. We'll memorialize it at our next meeting in a written document and send that document to you. That's the document you'll need to get your permits.
Thank you very much.
Good luck. Have a great night, guys. Let's move on to item number 7, 22-ZB-82V, Eve Star Properties.
Mr. Schwartz?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. It's Brian Schwartz. I'm here for the applicant.
It's all yours.
All right. We were here last in March, I believe, and we were given certain suggestions as to how we could make our plan better. We've worked with the township's consultants continuously in the last couple of months. We've come up with a plan which I think addresses Mr. Hinterstein's concerns and the other consultants' concerns of the township, and that's what we'd like to present tonight. I am not going to belabor it because you've already heard extensive testimony from us. So I just have two witnesses, our professional witnesses, who are going to explain the changes. And in Mr. Wilder's case, who's our planner, he's just going to reiterate that he believes that the positive and negative criteria of the statute are satisfied by our revised plans.
Okay, please proceed.
All right. Mr. Kumar is our, Paritosh Kumar is our architect. I know Mr. Kumar's on.
Yes, I'm here.
He's on.
Okay. Mr. Kumar, were you sworn in at the last hearing?
Yes, sir.
You remain sworn in to tell the truth?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Kumar, are you able to share your plans, your revised plans with the on the screen?
Yes, I can. Should I go ahead?
Yes, please.
If you can.
Okay.
Been enabled. Okay, why don't we start with A1, the cover sheet, which is an elevation, which is going to show how significantly I believe that the facade has been modified. There you go.
Yeah.
Right, is this plan dated May 11th, PK?
Yes.
All right, could you explain what the changes have been made since the board last saw this?
Yeah, so I'll just go with about the differences. So we brought down the size of the house significantly based on the board's comments. And so it became from a four-bedroom, two-car garage house to a three-bedroom, one-car garage house. And the big item was the building coverage was brought down from more than 25% to 20%, which is in compliance. And so there's no variance required for that. So the footprint of the building became much smaller, and also the height. So the ceiling heights of, can you hear me? Is there some interruption?
Sir.
Okay. So the ceiling heights for both the floors was reduced from 9 feet to 8 feet. The basement windows were removed and the base was lowered. So now the basement does not have any windows, but we had to sacrifice in order to bring down the height of the building. And also the roof was lowered a couple somewhat. So now we are about 8 feet less than what is allowed. The allowed is 35 feet. So now we are about 26 feet, 9 inches. And then also, as per the comments from the board, we had we removed the front two-story porch and also the overhangs in front of the main entrance and on top of the garage door. So those were removed. So the massing became much smaller, and however, it's still looking good because the patterns, the material patterns, the design was about the same concept, but now it's flat on the walls. It's not sticking out as much as it used to. And also, so I'll just go quickly and show you the first floor. If I zoom into the first floor, you can see the main entrance. So it's one big open area. These days is the open concept. Everybody likes that. So in the main entrance, you see the living room, the family room, the kitchen, the dining. And then from the garage, you come in on the right side, you have a powder room, and then you go down to the basement from the stairs, and you come further down and in the front, and then you can go up. There's a small pantry over here and a coat closet for any guests, to use that. Then when you go to the second floor, on the left side, you have a master suite with the master bedroom in the front, the sitting area in the back, the two walk-in closets, and a master bathroom. So this whole thing becomes a master suite over here. And then you have two additional bedrooms with walk-in closets and a common bathroom on the back right corner, right? And then if I go to the next one, the basement, you will see when you go down, you have an office, a laundry room, a mechanical room, a bathroom, and one big open entertainment area. And the rest is unexcavated. The roof plan is pretty simple. It's economical and simple, with barely any overhangs. However, to make it look good from the front, it obviously has to work with the elevations, Then we go to the elevations. The front elevation is still looking pretty nice aesthetically with the brick patterns in the middle. This brick and stucco is mainly on the two street facades, which makes it very attractive. And the other two sides are just vinyl siding. It's nothing much going on on the other two sides. And the back stairs that we did, it's using the 16 inch diameter footings, not a continuous foundation, so it's not really part of the building, not a building foundation. It's just on 16 inch diameter footings, and three footings is what we need. And then you can see the height is about 26 feet, 9 inches, and that's to the peak of the house. So in reality, if you look at the massing, the median height is, some of the ordinances look into the median height, but that's even less. But the 26.9 is to the top, to the ridge, to the peak. And rest of it, you see 8-foot ceilings, you see 1 foot six from the ground to the first floor, and rest is self-explanatory. So if I go one more last time to the cover sheet, you can see this is a major intersection, and it's going to look really nice entrance to the neighborhood. Well, it's a very attractive building, notwithstanding that we brought down the size significantly, both the footprint and also the height and the massing. So, we feel it's still looking very nice, although we've brought it down significantly.
So basically, Mr. Kumar, you've tried to strike a balance between the reducing the mass and the footprint and the size of the building, but at the same time keep its aesthetic features for a new home that will be a benefit to the neighborhood. Is that correct?
Correct, exactly. Yes.
I have no other questions, Mr. Chairman.
Does anyone have any questions for this witness? No. I guess we can address the site impact after your next witness. Mr. Schwartz?
Yes. Well, we have our engineer and planner. I think he'd be able to address that.
That's fine. Yeah, if we could, in the interest of expediting this, if we could address Mr. Hinterstein's memo from May 18th, I think would be in every both parties' best interest.
We will certainly do that.
Awesome. Let's proceed with your next witness.
Okay, good. Mr. Wilder, are you still here?
Yes.
Mr. Wilder, you were sworn in at the prior hearing. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
You remain sworn in to tell the truth.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Wilder, you are both our planner and engineer. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Are you able to share your screen and show your most recent site plan, which is dated, I also believe, May 11, 2023?
Absolutely.
Okay, why don't you explain what changes have been made since the board last saw this this plan in March?
Sure. So the biggest change, obviously, was related to the building changes, as Mr. Kumar pointed out. So we had adjusted the building footprint based on his revised plans. And aside from that, we did make some other changes that we talked about at the first meeting and also that we had discussed with the board professionals. So aside from the building modifications, we did relocate the air conditioner to no longer being in the rear yard. We provided screening around it. We also reduced the footprint, if you will, of the driveway, which was available since it was now a one-car garage in lieu of a two-car garage. So in the grand scheme, while the site plan changes weren't significant in number, they reduced the number of variances that we're seeking for the proposed construction down simply to one. So again, not a lot of changes were made from a site plan perspective, but we were able to bring the proposed development into much greater compliance from the first application or the first exhibit from the prior application.
I believe the most important change in the footprint is that you moved the building, correct?
That's correct. It's now pushed up against the east side of the property. So it sits on the eastern setback as well as the northern setback.
And that maximizes the setback to the west.
Still maintaining the setback, required setback with the ordinance, correct?
That is correct.
And as far as the front setback goes, we had initially gotten a report saying that the setback was 12.9 feet, but we had maintained it was 14 feet. And in fact, Mr. Hinterstein's report, his memorandum dated May 18th, he agrees it's 14 feet, correct?
Correct. And that was a function of the bay windows not extending to the foundation.
Okay. But we have increased the front setback, correct?
That is correct. The prior, when we were here previously, that front setback proposed was, it was 10 feet. So we've increased it by 4 feet.
And at the same time, we have the difficulty. I mean, the classic C variant situation where we don't have much room in the backyard. Is that correct?
That's correct. I mean, this is an undersized lot, and it's an undersized corner lot. So just from being undersized in nature, it's being squeezed, but it's further being squeezed by the fact that it is a corner lot.
Now, you have seen Mr. Hinterstein's report dated May 18, 2023, correct?
Yes, I did.
All right. Number one, we just talked about the setback. The other requirements, 2 through 6, are engineering details that he would like to see the applicant comply with. You've got on the board now?
Yep, and we have no issue with those. We will provide those as a resolution compliance submittal.
All right, so we will agree to a condition to approval that we will comply with these requirements prior to issuance of building permits.
That's correct.
All right. I think I just have one final question, Mr. Wilder, because I want you to put on your planning hat for a minute. You've gone through all the criteria, all the positive and negative criteria for the variances that no longer exist. In terms of the one variance, well, there are two other existing conditions we can't do anything about. Has your opinion change at all with regard to this variance now that we have changed plans?
Yeah, if anything, by bringing the property more into compliance, at the last hearing I referenced the Dahlmeier case, which is really the case that establishes how isolated undersized lots should be dealt with. And one of the prongs of the Dahlmeier case is to try to build as conforming a home as possible. And the reductions we've made have eliminated some of the variances that we were seeking. So again, the negative criteria I thought was satisfied in that we're building a residential use in a residential zone. And I believe from the positive criteria, establishing greater conformity with the zoning standards advances that as well.
Thank you. That's all the questions I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Do any other members of the board have any questions for this witness? Hearing none, I'm assuming that's your last witness, Mr. Schwartz.
Mr. Chairman,
please.
I would add one other condition, the COA affordable housing fee is part of the resolution. Each new residential construction has to pay into the township's housing trust fund.
Well, there's not much we can do about that, so I have to agree.
There's one other thing, Mr. Cahill.
Yes.
And that's just, looking at that driveway, the 9-foot driveway, I think that should probably, we don't have an impervious coverage. So in fairness, I appreciate the fact that they've reduced the footprint of the driveway a little bit. My concern is, though, that the driveway is only 14 feet, roughly 15 feet in depth in front of the garage. So I just feel like I think that it probably makes sense to have that driveway be a little bit wider than 9 feet, perhaps 10 feet. I just want to make sure that a car can comfortably fit on that driveway that's along the side of the house, that somebody could get in and out of it without any issues. Since really that's their full parking space. I think the space in front of the garage really won't be that usable unless they have a small vehicle. So really the garage space becomes a space and then that parking space to the side of the home. So I just think it'd probably be beneficial that driveway be perhaps another foot wider, which doesn't result in any issues or variances. I just feel like that'll be just more usable for the future homeowner as far as being able to park there.
Thank you, Mr. Interstein. Mr. Schwartz, are you in agreement?
I'm certainly in agreement, but I have to ask my client, Manish Karna, who I believe is here by phone.
Please do. We'll take a couple of minutes.
Yeah, we'll agree to it.
There you go.
That was quick. All right. So any other members of the board have any questions or comments about this application? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Laura?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, we're going to close the public portion and make a motion to approve this application.
I'll second.
Thank you so much. Call the roll.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Buckley.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Let's move on to item number 8, 23-ZB-31/33V, Colgate-Palmolive Corp.
Mr. Galassi, are you present?
Yes, I am. Trying to get my video started here. It is not starting. Do you mind if I proceed with that video for the momentarily?
By all means.
All right. My name is Sandy Galassio. I'm an attorney with Wendell's, Marks, Lane, and Mittendorf on behalf of the applicant, Colgate Palmolive Company. Colgate is the owner of the subject property located at 909 River Road, known as Block 11701, Lot 16.05. Colgate received approvals in 2009 for phases 1 through 3 of a solar project on the campus as an effort to reduce their carbon footprint and use reusable and renewable energy to help power the facility. This involved the installation of solar panel arrays on the roof of the parking garage and in the surface parking lots at the rear of the facility. The application we're presenting tonight is for phases 4 and 5, which propose installation of solar arrays over the existing visitor A and B surface parking lots and the new W wing surface parking lot, along with the associated electrical equipment, the installation of 24 electric vehicle charging stations, and associated landscaping. We're requesting conditional use and bulk variances in connection with this application, and we'll be presenting planning testimony in support of those. We have submitted our affidavit of service of notice to the board, and we have also submitted an application to Middlesex County. I have two witnesses to present tonight, Mr. Michael Thomas, who is the engineer, and John McDonough, who is our planner. I would ask the secretary allow Mr. McDonough to participate as a panelist. He is on the call currently. Okay,
but what is he under? Because I don't see his name. I see a Zoom 1, a Ronald Meyer.
It may be Zoom 1.
Is that you?
What's his name, sir?
John McDonough.
John McDonough. Yeah, I see nothing either.
No. I do not see him, Sandy.
Is he in a waiting room?
No, I don't. No. I don't do waiting. I only have attendees and panelists. There's 9 on there, and none of them are him.
Okay, we'll see if we can get him. Get him on.
You could send him your link too, and he could use your link to log on. I could just change his name.
All right, I'll forward that to him. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, without further ado, I'd like to call my first witness and have him sworn in, Mr. Michael Thomas.
Please proceed.
Mr. Thomas, are you present?
Yes, I am.
I need to swear you in because you raise your right hand. You swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
I do.
Thank you. Your name and address, please.
Michael Richard Thomas. I work at T&M Associates, 11 Tyndall Road, Middletown, New Jersey.
Thank you.
This meeting is being recorded.
You there, Sandy?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, please proceed with your witness.
Okay, Mr. Thomas, can you provide your credentials to the board?
Sure. I have about 20 years of site development and water resources based experience. I'm a graduate of Penn State University with where I did my undergrad in civil engineering. And I also have a master's degree in civil engineering from NJIT.
His credentials are acceptable. You can proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Thomas, you've been involved in the preparation of this application and the plan submitted to the board?
Yes.
And are you prepared to provide testimony in support of the application?
Yes.
All right. Can you provide that testimony, please?
Sure. So if it's okay with everybody, can I share my screen?
Please do.
Okay. And I believe the exhibits which you're viewing right now were provided to the board prior to the hearing. But I don't know if this needs to be marked or not, Sandy.
If it was part of the original submission, it does not need to be separately marked.
It was not, so we would need to mark it as A1.
A1 with today's date, please.
Okay, so there was a package that we had provided to the board, like as I had mentioned. Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Back, Mr. Thomas.
Your echo. Sorry, might have something else on.
Yeah, there was an echo on, I'm sorry. Okay, so the first exhibit that we have up here is an overall exhibit of the site. I'll just run through some of the existing conditions on the property. We wanted to just give a sort of like a, almost like a 10,000 foot overhead point of view of the site so you could see what's going on around. So Colgate Palmolive, this is not the first time we've presented in front of the board. And I'm sorry, I'm hearing another echo again. Everybody can perhaps mute their... Okay, that's better. Oh. So we had presented previously to the board for a separate solar application at the same site. The project site that we're looking at is adjacent to several features around the site. Most relevant, I suppose, is the Raritan River, which is nearby the Delaware and Raritan Canal. River Road is also immediately to the south of the site. And there's existed wooded areas surrounding the site as well. Residential properties are located to the east of the site and also to the south of the site. But generally speaking, the facility is kind of tucked in within its property, surrounded mostly by existed wooded vegetation, with the slight exception of along River Road where there's more open grass areas as you approach the site, more visible from the roadway. So I'll give a brief background, I guess, of some of the zoning requirements that we're asking for this particular project. The job is located in the ER zone, which is the Education and Research District. There's a few variances that we are requesting as a result of this. There's more specifically, there's two D3 variances that we're requesting. Both of these are surrounded around the idea of the conditional use that we are requesting. Solar is permitted in the zone as a conditional use, but we are not complying 100% with the conditional use requirements. So that's the reason for the D3 variance. It's very, very similar to the variance that we had requested back in 2019 when we were in front of the board for phases 1, 2, and 3 of the project. And that had to do with the ground mount arrays being taller than 10 feet. And at that particular time back in 2019, and also with right now, we're proposing arrays that are taller than that. More specifically, we are providing canopy solar arrays, which are essentially located within the existing parking lots and are covering the existing, would be covering the existing parking spaces. In addition to that, we're requesting a variance for providing solar that is located within the existing front yard. And that's the two arrays, which I'm going to kind of hover my hand around, which are on the southerly end. We're calling that parking lot A and parking lot B over here, where my hand is. And those are located within the front road, adjacent to where River Road is. obviously set back quite a distance from the roadway, but nonetheless, it requires a variance for that. There's a few bulk variances also that we're requesting. The height of the array itself shall not exceed 10 feet. So we're requesting just a basic bulk variance for that specific requirement. And then in addition to that, the structures shall not obstruct parking aisle access. And more specifically, we're providing two arrays that are spanning existing parking aisles, which are located in lots A and B. In addition to that, we have the maximum accessory structure requirement, which is a bulk requirement in the zone. It's limited to 25 feet. We are proposing two of our arrays, which are arrays, again, located in the A and B lots in the site, which are 28 feet in height at their maximum level. And then the last bulk variance that we're requesting has to do with just the general conditional use standards, and we're requesting a bulk variance for that. We have a series of waivers that we were also requesting. Most of the waivers that these are focused on are relevant to new buildings, new building construction, enclosed building construction, roof improvements, stormwater management improvements, and the like. We're requesting waivers for those things mostly because they're just simply not applicable to the nature of this project. So I'll talk a little bit about the proposed work that we have. I'm going to move down to our next rendering, which is part of this exhibit. I don't know if you want me to mark this one out separately as well as A2, or if you want me to just keep it as A1.
Yeah, A2, please.
So this will be A2. So this is just a more zoomed in version of the last exhibit that we just viewed. It gives the overall perspective of the site with all the improvements that are on it. We're trying to show our existing landscaping that's out there today with the existing rendering that's there, along with the proposed landscaping that we are suggesting for this particular project, buffering for the arrays, as well as some internal plantings that we're proposing. And the little red X's that you see hovering around the screen, those are the existing trees that we are proposing to be removed. In total, we have about 136 trees, which we are proposing to be removed. Some are smaller, some are larger. There are some of them that are taller trees, you know, upwards towards 50 feet plus. And then there's others that are much smaller, something around the 10 foot height level. We are proposing a tree replacement ratio, which was consistent with the first three phases of the development of the solar development. So back when we were presenting in front of the board in 2019, parking lots D and L, which is located on the, I'll call it the more northwestern corner of the site, parking lots F and K, which is located on the northeastern corner of the site. And then there was an existing parking deck that was out there as well. We were proposing solar over that. In order to install much of the solar that was on the ground, especially in lots D and L and F and K, there was a necessity to remove some of the existing trees that were located within the existing parking lot. The trees themselves were either interfered with where the proposed arrays were going, or they would have provided shading onto the arrays, which would have minimized the efficiency or effectiveness of the arrays themselves. So the necessity that we're calling for out in this particular development, there's three parts of it. There's the W wing, which is, I'll say, is located on the more like southeasterly corner of the lot. There's lot B, which I was mentioning a little bit earlier, which we have a spanned array, which like I said, it covers or it runs over an existing drive aisle, which is within the existing parking lot. And then very similarly, we have a little bit smaller array, which is located in lot A. This one is also, again, spanning the existing aisle that's there today. So you could see, like, you know, in relation to where the arrays are with where on the site, you could see that they're located over mostly existing parking spaces, with the exception of the previously approved parking deck and the solar that's on top there. We did investigate and you know, do a preliminary analysis of where we could put the arrays on the site, and working with the team, where would they make sense? You know, where was the most logical place to put them without creating additional disturbances and new impervious surfaces and things like this? The rooftops of the buildings were investigated as well, but there was several concerns, especially from the fire folks in the township and elsewhere, and just the flat out fact that structurally speaking and also size wise, the roof was much more limited in terms of availability compared to the ground mount systems. So, you know, a decision was made by the Colgate-Palmolive executive folks to propose these additional arrays on the ground as opposed to on top of the rooftops of the existing structures that are there, and proceed in that fashion. This is this arrays that we're proposing are part of a phase sequence. Again, I mentioned that a little bit earlier. The Colgate-Palmolive's portfolio is growing to expand more renewable energies. There's a large desire to offset as much of the existing facility power production as possible, with the renewable energies. So that is the general intent behind what is being proposed here. I'll run through a little bit of some of the specifics of the arrays themselves. So we're proposing 10 arrays, which are located on the, I'll call it, southeastern corner of the site. Those arrays are generally all the same size. The approximate dimensions are 93.5 feet by 40.9 feet. And then at their very, very tallest, it's 25 foot tall. The minimum height that we made for all of the arrays that we're proposing right now is 14.5 feet. The general intent behind that was to provide enough clearance that an emergency vehicle can go underneath them. Now, we don't intend or expect emergency vehicles to go underneath any of these arrays. In fact, we've done our truck turning exhibits showing that they would be able to access either in between the arrays or around the periphery of the arrays, but not necessarily underneath. The 14.5 foot clearance was really just a backup plan, so to speak. Whereas if someone had to get underneath their emergency vehicle for whatever reason, then they could drive underneath it and do that. So the arrays that are located in this corner of the site, again, on the southeastern corner, 25 feet is the max of height, which does meet the accessory structure maximum height requirement. It is taller than the 10 foot maximum solar height requirement, but again, there are safety reasons that were brought into play here, and the rationale for making them higher, a little bit taller. Generally speaking, with solar, and I don't know if everybody's aware of this, but we live in the northern hemisphere, and what that generally means is you tilt the angle of the arrays towards the equator, right? And that's not always perfect for every site. Can't always get that exactly, but that's the general intent. So with these particular arrays that are located here in the southeastern corner, they're tilted towards the southeast, generally towards the south. So the low side of the array, which is the 14.5 foot minimum clearance, is the side that's closest to where, like, the existing residences are. It's not the high side, but the low side. So that's important because with things like lighting and other pieces that we have to incorporate into the design, which are located underneath the arrays, that everything is going to be focused downward, and it's the low side again that's going to be facing where the existing residences are, not the high side. The configuration that we chose for this was not by accident. Like I said, there was a lot of investigation, preliminary work that went into laying out the locations of these arrays, where they could feasibly be done and safely be installed, and also provide the necessary emergency services that would be needed in case there, in the case of a fire or something else that needed access to the site. So in this particular case, the arrays, you know, again, this W wing lot, which is over here, is a little bit curvilinear. So the arrays that we chose for this particular lot are done in a sort of like a staggered way, and not done as one continuous larger or longer array. We are proposing some removal of existing trees on there, and with the configuration that we created here, it is a necessity to remove those existing trees because of the shading impacts that they have on the arrays themselves. There's some existing trees which are out here, which are either in the exact same location of where the arrays are proposed, or they are just very, very tall. So 50 feet plus, some of them are even 75 foot tall. And we had, you know, as part of our due diligence and working with this project, we have to do a shading analysis. And that shading analysis allows us to determine the exact extents of the shading on the arrays, and if there's any kind of production or power generation reduction that's associated with that. So we have to, when we're doing this, we're coming up with numbers in terms of figuring out how much offset this will create on an annual basis for the existing facility. We have to account in different times of the year, different months, you know, when the sun is lower in the winter months and higher in the summer months, and all that is factored into the annual offset that the solar produces. I'm going to move a little bit to the west now, and this second one here is in lot B of the site. We're calling this one array LS2. That particular array is 155 feet by 95.4 feet, and at its very highest point is 28 foot tall, 14.5 foot vertical clearance at the very, very minimum. Again, very similar to the arrays in the W wing. And then the array, which is very similar to it, just slightly smaller, is located further to the west, and that array is LS1. And I apologize, I got the two mixed up there. LS1 was the longer one, and that dimension was 187.1 by 95.4 by 28. And then in lot A, where my hand is right now, that array was the first dimensions that I told you, which was 155.9 by 95.4 feet by 28 foot tall at its max. All the arrays that we're proposing here are supported by steel structures. The steel structures have concrete footings, which are circular in nature. They're about 3 foot diameter for the most part. There are some piles that we have to put in, and then also some different foundations and some specific locations. In one of the array locations, in the, I believe it's in lot A, there's an existing, in lot B, I should say, there's an existing parking space where one of the columns for the arrays needs to be located in order to make it work. So for that particular array, that parking space, we ended up relocating it in the same parking lot without having to create any additional impervious surface or anything like that. But it's just a simple relocation of the lot of that parking space from one place to the next to account for that proposed column that's going to be located there. In terms of parking for the site, we're not changing the parking. We're not modifying it. We did do a parking study as part of this particular project. Colgate-Palmolive had asked us to do that. Just to have an accurate accounting for themselves more than anything else, but also to provide and fill out the zoning information and the parking information correctly on site. As part of this project and the nature of it, because we're here for preliminary and final major site plan, we are required to follow the state of New Jersey requirements for new EV charging stations on the site. So there's several new EV charging stations, which we are proposing on the site. More specifically, and just for everyone's awareness, there's about 1,355 total parking spaces on the site. Those parking spaces include 507 existing parking spaces, which are located in the parking deck, and then 814 surface parking spaces, which are throughout the facility. And then there's also a child care center, which has some parking associated with that, which has about 34 spaces. So when you do the math for the EV charging space requirements, we are going to be providing under proposed conditions a total of 56 EV charging stations throughout the site. Some of them will be handicap accessible to meet the handicap accessibility requirements. But the general idea with this again was to provide that accurate accounting of the existing spaces on site, and then in addition to that, provide the correct number of EV charging stations. So those are the general specifics about what we're proposing. I'm going to talk a little bit about the landscaping next on the site. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, we are proposing landscaping at a 2-to-1 ratio. One of the things that we are suggesting on site, and this is not that the client was unwilling to do so, but the site is quite oversaturated with existing trees. And I'm going to go back to exhibit A1 if that's okay, just so everybody can kind of see. But again, you can see that the periphery of the site is quite well vegetated. There's less so with the number of trees, I suppose, which are fronting River Road. However, we are providing 117 proposed trees on site, and then 155 to meet the 2-to-1 ratio. We are suggesting 155 additional trees be provided as a fee in lieu of the remaining trees that we had to provide, and essentially a donation to the township for that. So and to locate those trees where they feel best suited. We for the trees that we are proposing of the 117, we tried to strategically locate them in the best spots. I'm gonna flip now to another exhibit, which I guess I'll call this exhibit A3.
Yes.
And what this exhibit shows, it's sort of like a photograph a point of view from some of the locations of the existing residences which surround the site. This particular one fronts River Road. The purpose of the exhibit was just generally to show the distances to the existing homes, and it's quite far. There's quite a large frontage in front of the site. Along with an existing detention facility that's there, but we wanted to show some of the nearby distances, and I'll just zoom in just a touch here, just to give you guys an idea what we're talking about. On the southeastern corner of the lot, from the nearest proposed array, it's the closest distance we observed to the existing residence was 237.34 feet. And that's from the W wing lot. The visitor lot, which was lot B in phase five, was about 540 linear feet from that existing residence. And then there was another existing residence, which was a little bit further to the west, which is about 686 feet away. And then as we moving a little bit further to the west, lot A in that existing or that proposed array, to the nearest existing residences are 703 feet and 813 feet respectively. So it's quite a distance from River Road to where these arrays are. It's not to say that you wouldn't see them, but what we did do is we showed some photographs here. Just to give you an idea from strategic locations about what it looks like currently there in front of the site. And these photographs were taken about a couple weeks ago. I apologize for the loading here. It's just a pretty large PDF size here. So photo number one, which was taken, I'll call it on the southwestern corner of the lot. It was the general idea behind it was to show the kind of the breadth of the existing vegetation that's out there today, And you can see that in the photograph that's shown here. Photo number two, which was taken, which would almost be like a bullseye shot, if you will, to where lot A is and where the solar would be located there. But again, you could see the existing wooded vegetation that is in front of that today. And then picture number three is more focused on lot, you know, pointing towards lot B, which that particular array is there. And then again, the existing vegetation that's there today. So we did see some comments I believe it was in Mr. Hinterstein's review letter about providing some additional supplemental plantings in these locations. And, you know, we will definitely be able to work with him to find strategic locations or where we can do that. So I don't think that's an issue.
I have a quick question, if I can interrupt, Mr. Sure. Thomas. Sure. Do you have a similar exhibit for the homes that are on Waldhaven or Orchard, which is off Hose Lanes West?
Yes, and that's going to be my next exhibit.
Perfect. Appreciate it.
So this, I guess I'll call this one Exhibit A4.
Yes.
Okay, and I'll zoom it out first so you guys can see it. Again, I apologize for the reloading. It's just a large PDF size. So we're obviously very concerned about the residences which were nearby and the proximity to where our arrays are here. We were providing landscaping buffer to compensate for many of the trees that are to be removed. Obviously, when trees are planted, we really can't be installing new trees taller than 8 foot tall. Many of the nurseries don't have them, and you know, it's just there's a much higher success rate when you install something at a somewhat reasonable height, and 8 feet seems to be kind of the magic number at planting. So it's going to take a few years for these trees to mature. However, you could expect the trees that we're proposing, and a lot of them are evergreen in nature, what we're suggesting here. But you could expect them, you know, within 5 years, they'll be around 12 feet tall, 12 to 15 potentially. Within 10 years, it could be like 15 feet, maybe a little bit taller than that. And then within 20 years and beyond, they'll probably reach their more mature height. We had to be a little bit careful with species selection for these evergreen plantings here. We don't want the trees to be taller than the arrays themselves, right? And the rationale for that is the shading impacts that it has on the arrays. You lose power production when you have those shading impacts. I know there was a comment that came in from Mr. Hinterstein about the location of where we had concerning the five closest arrays, which are on the, I'll call it the more southerly or easterly side of the W wing. Those arrays, again, were strategically placed there. There were several reasons for that. I'll just run into some of them right now. The first is that the shading impacts that we have on the site, this is just kind of a, you know, just a basic thing that's going to happen regardless of where these arrays are going to be located within this parking lot. But shading occurs throughout the parking lot here for these trees that we're proposing to be removed. So whether we took the arrays and relocated them further to the east or not, they're still going to be shaded by the existing trees that are there today, unless we remove them. So that's one thing that was important when we were going over this and trying to figure out the best location for this. There are several trees which we are proposing to be removed in those areas. Many of them have been planted recently and are around a 10 to 12 foot tall height. Some of them, again, as I had mentioned earlier before, are taller. Some of them are quite tall, like, you know, 50 to 75 foot tall existing trees. But there was also a practical and safety application with this as well. We wanted to make sure that we were not putting arrays closer towards where the existing driveway was, because that's where the main access is running around the periphery of the site. So there would be some overhang there if we had done that. And then in addition to that, even though we did design, or at least what we're proposing, the lowest side of the arrays are about 14 and a half foot above the ground. There was never any intent to have emergency vehicles go underneath these arrays. And we designed our truck turning movements that are running around these parking lots to essentially stay out from underneath them, to just run around the periphery of them, to not go underneath them. So putting these arrays with the low side of the array closer towards the roadway would complicate that. And there's safety concerns with that as well. In addition to that, there's an existing PSENG utility overhead utility line, which runs, I'll just say, in a northeasterly direction, sort of where my cursor is running on the screen right now. We're going to need to relocate that as part of this project. The relocation, per our preliminary discussions with PSENG, was to come along the ring road, which runs around the periphery of the site, and if we were to do that, that's the preferred location of where they would want that to go. If we had moved the arrays there, obviously we wouldn't be able to do that. So there's some engineering and practical reasons for locating them where they were or where they are right now, but we are again very cognizant of the fact of the impacts of the tree removal. So we did prepare this exhibit to try to help, I'll call it, clarify some of the existing buffer that's there today. The photos that are shown on here were taken from Google Maps. And the reason why we did that, because they had the best photographs with the leaves down, the deciduous leaves fallen down. And we didn't have as good of pictures. Most of the pictures we had full coverage of the leaves back here. So we're utilizing these photographs here to kind of show the points of view. The first one, number one on here, is from Orchard Road. So it gives that viewpoint sort of like at the end of the roadway there looking in. You can see there are some existing evergreen trees already out there today. A lot of deciduous trees, which are there, but the trees down. But again, I'm going to zoom in just a touch here so you guys can see this a little bit more clearly. But again, even with that, you can see there's so many trees that are there, right? And that the buffer that's there, even with the leaves down, it's quite substantial, even with that down there. Item number or pick photo number two, and I'll zoom out again one more time here. And I apologize for the loading here. Was taken from Waldhaven Court from the point of view of looking towards our site as well. I'll try to zoom into this one again a little bit closer so you can see some of the existing buffer impacts that are there today. Again, this is the middle of the winter time when this picture was taken with the trees down. You can see it's pretty well buffered with all the leaves down, right? And then the last photo we took or we utilized was photo number three. This one more specifically, I believe we did take this photo when we were out there. So out of the ones we were looking at, but this one shows from our site looking out towards, I'll just say the existing, and there's an existing easement, which is located here, which we're not doing any work within, but looking out towards the existing residences, which are there today. We have one more colored exhibit, which I'd like to show, which if I can, I'd like to mark it as A5.
Yes.
And I'll open that up right now. Okay, so what we're looking at is kind of like on the opposite side of the fence, so to speak, on the Colgate-Palmolive side, looking towards the residences from where we are, just to give you that point of view of the existing buffers that are there. So the two site shots or two aerial shots that we're showing here are without the array and then also with the array, just so you could get some perspective. Photo number one, which is taken sort of in the middle of the existing lot, or I should say maybe more on the southern end of the existing W wing lot. You could see that there's some existing plantings that were there. And I believe, again, in Mr. Hinterstein's letter, he had pointed out that some of those trees have been planted more recently you know, that are there. Some of them are evergreen in nature. And we are proposing as part of this project to have those trees removed because they would directly interfere with the proposed arrays that we have. But you could see beyond that, and sort of the purpose of the photograph was to give you an idea of like how tall these trees are. And you could see how high they get up to, the deciduous ones, which are in the background. Those are the ones that are creating the biggest impact on our site. And again, it doesn't really matter if we move the arrays or not, those shading impacts will still exist no matter what from those large trees. But these trees where my hand is hovering around now, they're somewhere between 50 to 75 feet, and some of them perhaps even taller than that, that are there today. Photo location number two is taken from, I'll just say, a little bit further westbound from where photo location number one was. So again, looking in, and I'll zoom in again so you guys can see this a little bit more clearly. These were photos not from Google Street View, but from photos that we took out of the site. You can see some of the leaves were down mostly in these photos as well. Photo number two, you could see again, pretty dense grouping of existing plantings that are there. And again, the deciduous leaves are down at that particular time. And then the last one, which is photo location number three, is, I'll say, more in the central part of the W wing, looking and viewing in a more eastbound direction. And that one, again, is to give you some perspective of how tall some of the existing trees that are there today. So I did want to give some additional, and I'm gonna hop back to our first, exhibit number A2. I'm gonna hop back to this one just to go over a few other items on the site, just to review them. We did do truck turning exhibits on the site. We bought the largest fire truck that we thought that was gonna be realistic, within Piscataway Township to navigate in and around the proposed arrays to show that they can access it. The fire trucks can technically go underneath the arrays, though we don't think that's going to happen. But again, we're trying to be cautious when we were designing these things to make sure that there was enough clearance in case there was an emergency and they needed to get underneath there for whatever reason. Traffic on the site. So this facility is passive in nature. There's no new vehicular trips that we're proposing as a result of it. It's very similar to what we had suggested back in 2019 for the first three phases of the project. There will be some maintenance vehicles on site every once in a while. It's probably not going to be often. On a more realistic side, it's going to be probably no more than once every 6 months. But to be a little conservative, you could expect the vehicle to come out and observe the facility perhaps once a month. That would probably be the normal frequency. There's really no need to come out here to do anything unless something is wrong. An array is down, a light bulb went out, something to this effect. In addition to that, we have some utilities that we are proposing on the site. So we are proposing some underground trenching, which runs kind of in a, I'll call it a southbound to an eastbound and then to a northbound direction. And both, all three of these locations for the arrays are all gonna tie in up north on the site, which is similar to where the first three phases were tying in. So there's an existing substation that's on the site right now where they have their switchgear equipment, which is located, I'll call it on the more north easterly side of the site. And we are proposing two additional improvements in that location. One of them is going to be an underground vault, which we are proposing to accommodate the 5 kilovolt circuit breaker. It's gonna be underground, as I had mentioned. And that one's going to be associated more specifically with phase five of the improvements. So phase five are the two, I'll call it the larger arrays, which are located in lots A and B. And then in addition to that, we're going to be tying into the existing manhole, which is phase four of this project, which is the W wing. And again, everything is intended to be tied back into the existing substation. So some necessary equipment that's going to be required to make the electrical system work. We are proposing to trench and then repair, provide pavement repair to those existing areas where we're trenching within the ring road. And then in addition to that, there's some ground mounted pads, which we are proposing. All the pads that we are proposing on the ground are approximately 6 feet by 4 feet. It's for the transformers, which are associated with the arrays that were located. There's one that is proposed located on the east side of array LS1, which is in lot A. Array number LS2, which is located in lot B. The pad is also located on the easterly side of that. And then, again, I apologize for the lag here. It's just a big PDF. I'm gonna zoom also to the last pad, which is located, I'll call it on the more northerly side of array T5. The pads are all approximately the same size to handle the transformer equipment that's associated with the arrays. There's no new signage that we're proposing for this project, so we're not really proposing any new traffic control signs. I'll call it monument signs that are associated with this project. So it's very similar to what we had provided in the package back in 2019. From that point of view, we are providing lighting underneath the arrays as required to meet minimum ordinance lighting requirements and meeting the minimum photometric standard. So we are providing lighting underneath the arrays. There are some existing light poles within the parking lots that are going to be removed as a result of the arrays, similar to some of the existing trees that are there. And again, the intent behind it was to provide the minimum required ordinance required lighting levels, for these arrays. We are using LED lights. LED lights are intended to point in the very specific direction, right? In this particular case, they're going to be pointed all downward. It's a little bit different than the older types of lights that have been used, like metal halide or high pressure sodium, which have a lot more spillover effect and lighting impacts. LEDs are intended to be focused light and point in the exact direction that you're aiming it. So that's the general summary with regard to the lighting. The canopies themselves, they are not V-style canopies, and a V is in Victor. So they're not that, where stormwater collects in the arrays and gets funneled down the middle of the arrays. These arrays are draining in one direction continuously. So there's a high side of the array and then there's a low side of the array. To make sure that we're providing meeting all the safety requirements on the low side of the array with regard to icing and snow accumulation that could happen during winter months, we are proposing snow guards on the low side of the array to mitigate that. The arrays themselves and all solar arrays more or less follow the same criteria. Solar arrays are intended and designed to absorb sunlight, not reflect it back. So glint and glare is really a non-issue associated with these particular arrays. There is some humming noise, I suppose, that is generated from the transformers and from some of the electrical equipment. But it's very, very similar to what you would hear in the back of like an office building or something to this effect, a transformer that's located there, or perhaps even on a street corner in a nearby neighborhood. So it's not very different from that. Very, very low, innocuous type of use that is proposed from that point of view. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the carbon offsets that are associated with these arrays. I did want to touch on this because I know it was a comment in one of the review letters. So I did want to touch on this because I thought it was important to bring out to the hearing. So what I have up right now is a Microsoft Excel file, which pretty much identifies what the five, I'll call it, more southerly arrays from the W wing would produce on an annual basis.
And Mr. Chairman, this was submitted to the board secretary in a PDF format. So we'd like to mark that as Exhibit A6.
A6, thank you.
Please proceed, Mr.
Thomas. Okay, for this particular one, these are those five, again, those five southerly arrays. I'll just show everybody again on the screen. There it goes. So it's these arrays which are located here on the W-wing lot. So it's those five specific arrays, which are arrays T6 through T10, total 750 modules that are, you know, solar modules that are associated with them. And the watts that each of these arrays are producing is 485 watts. And these are much more efficient panels now than they made even 10 years ago. So on an annual basis associated with this, we can expect, in the kilowatt hours is what I'm talking about here, we can expect 454,688 kilowatt hours, which is what those five southerly arrays are producing. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up one other PDF on the screen, if you just bear with me a second. And I wanted to kind of bring that into context of like a real life scenario. So what we have up on the screen right here is taken from.
Sorry, Mike, we would mark this as A7, Mr. Chairman.
A7, sure.
Go ahead, Mike.
Sure. So that's equivalent to 322 metric tons of carbon dioxide. And just to give that as a point of comparison of what that means, that would be equivalent to, that would be equivalent to 71.7 gasoline powered passenger vehicles being utilized for 1 year, or 826,051 miles driven by the average gasoline powered passenger vehicle. And to put it in the context of vegetation, and they have a whole bunch of equivalencies here that they provide. I don't think I need to go through all those.
Appreciate that.
But it's also equal to 5,328 tree seedlings that are grown over a 10-year period, which is also equal to 384 acres of United States forest over 1 year. So those little arrays, those five arrays that we're talking about, pack quite a punch in terms of offset, you know, associated with them. Now, that's not these numbers are not for the entire system we're proposing. That's just those five arrays that are located, furthest to the east of the W-wing lot. So in addition to that, I'd like to provide one last exhibit, which I guess we'll call A8, and this is the offset that the proposed solar facility is proposed. This is how much equivalent offset of the annual production or power usage that the facility does on a yearly basis, right? So the first three phases of the project were already constructed. We had that approved back in 2019. Phase one of that offset 6.25% of Colgate's energy usage. Phase two did 14.55%. Phase three did, and these are cumulative numbers, by the way, once you add one to the other. And then phase three did 21.94%. So phases one, two, and three together did about 22% offset of the entire facility's energy usage. When we're adding in these two new phases now that we're proposing, we're getting all the way to over 34% of the facility's energy usage from these arrays. So it's quite substantial offset we're proposing here. So again, just to kind of sum up. It's a very innocuous use that we're proposing. We understand, obviously, that there are some things that have to be accounted for in order to do it, which can include things like tree removal. We are concerned, obviously, about the impacts to the nearby residences and the nearby community as well. The visual impact of it, we're absolutely willing to work with the with the township landscape architect to come up with a scheme that would provide the greatest visual buffer that we could possibly produce, on site, while at the same time understanding that the site has a lot of trees on it already, right? And which is part of the reason why we were suggesting to the fee in lieu landscaping portion of the site. But if we don't have to use the exact numbers that I was throwing out there, but if there's a need to add more trees onto the site and then perhaps some of them less with the fee in lieu, that's fine. We do feel that this is a well thought out design. The arrays are located in the correct spots on the site, and to meet the maximum, efficiency that we could possibly get, on the site, and try to create the least impact that we can make on the nearby community.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. I just have one question because you were very thorough. During weekends and off hours, will these panels supply power to the local grid through PSE&G?
So this is intended to be a net metered project. It's based upon the usage of the facility. If there are overages, there can be credits that are given associated with that. But this is not a direct connect into the system. So the net metered system is intended for the end user here, which is Holgate Palmolive.
Okay, thank you. It's the only question that I had.
Okay, I'm sure we have a few more though.
Yep.
Mr. Hinterstein, did you want to address this now or?
Yeah, I mean, I could address some things now that were, since it was brought up.
That were just recently brought up, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Again, I mean, some of those exhibits, I understand they look great on paper, but what the exhibits show is a lot of trees that are going to be removed by this application. So yeah, right now the buffer is doing its job. The buffer that, mind you, was required not only as part of the installation of the parking lot, when the W Wing parking lot was put in place, many of the residents came out, had concerns. The buffer was a condition of that parking area being placed in that location. But if we go beyond that, these homes have been here probably before Tollgate was even constructed. And when they came in to construct this campus, they did a nice job. They located in the center of the property. They maintained a large buffer around the perimeter of this research and development site, again, for a reason, because the residents had concerns at that time. And as a condition, it was laid out as such, and the buffers were provided. And as you pointed out, many of these trees are 50, 75 feet tall. That means they're probably 50, 75 years old. You want to cut them down because they're casting a shadow on your solar panels and totally decimate the buffer that these homeowners have had for the last, maybe as long as those trees have been growing, 50, 75 years or since Tollgate's been constructed. You talk about strategic location and how this is, you're basically putting these solar panels in a forest and then saying this is a strategic location and cutting down the entire buffer. To me, a strategic location would be putting them on the rooftops where you don't have to cut down any trees and impact the neighboring property owners, or putting the solar panels on the soccer field that's located in the front of the property that they use for recreational purposes instead of cutting down the neighbor's buffers. So, I have to disagree with you. Don't get me wrong. Solar panels, I don't think anybody disagrees with the fact that the reduction in carbon, that solar panels are noble and a worthy cause to reduce that carbon footprint and energy issues that we have in this in the world. But at the expense of the neighboring property owners who have been here a really long time and have been, I think, good neighbors and Colgate's been good neighbors, to just come in here and say, we're going to take down 50, 75 foot trees. We're going to take down all these evergreen trees that already had a 5-year head start to start over, and then put in species that only grow a fraction of the height as the buffer that's there now. To me, you know, again, those exhibits are great for the houses across the street, which I really don't have an issue with for the houses across the street. You don't have any exhibits for any of the River Road houses that are along the north side of River Road that are way, way closer to this W Wing parking lot. And that if you go there, you could see those homes when you stand in that parking lot today, right now. So, you know, to go in there, decimate this, these solar panels are those 5 panels on the southeasternly portion of that lot are half over the parking lot. They're not even over the parking lot. Half of the array is, the other half is not. So you're going much farther into that site than I think even then would need to be. But again, I think there's other locations on this property, hence the roofs of the buildings, which again, maybe it doesn't work for your for Colgate, but you know, I feel like that's the better solution to meet the need that they're trying to get to, as far as the amount of the carbon footprint and the amount of energy that they're supplying through solar without impacting the residences. Again, you have a soccer field in front of the campus. If you did ground arrays that were 10 foot in accordance with the, you know, with the ordinance on those, on that field, you probably would be able to accommodate most of those solar panels that are going on the west wing parking area. So again, I'm just, you know, I agree with you on the benefits of the project, and I don't think anybody would dispute that. But the problem I have is, you know, at the cost of the buffer and the adjacent, you know, neighborhood, to me, when there's other locations that have, you know, that could be used on the site, and if there can't, then you know, although it's a noble, you know, project, it just might not be, you know, I think feasible. With that much of, you know, destruction of the buffer. So, you know, that's all I have to say about it, you know, at this time.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Henry. Do you think that you could work with us to supplement the plantings we're already proposing? And also, on the other side of that SunOil pipeline, there's about 100 feet of existing vegetation and trees there. If we added infill plantings in that area and further back into the existing, call it the vegetation in that area, you know, to mitigate, you know, the effects further. What's your thoughts on that? And, you know, to address the rooftops, you know, Mr. Thomas testified that you know, the Piscataway Fire Department does not want the solar panels on the roof, and the insurance companies that insure don't want them. And if you recall, Colgate did have a roof fire a few years ago.
I don't know about what the fire department's criteria is for the roof panels. I know there's roof solar panels. They're allowed in the township. Yep. They're all over the township. So I don't know why they would have said it's not good for Colgate, but it's good for other buildings in Piscataway. So to me, that doesn't make any sense. But, you know, if you have something from the fire commissioner that says he's opposed to it, well, then that, again, that just goes to my point where, you know, maybe it's not a feasible project. The problem with just adding infill, you know, closer to the residents, doesn't take away from the meat of that buffer, the thickness of that buffer that exists now, not only to, again, buffer the parking area, but it buffers the whole campus. And again, that buffer was, you know, left there and probably was a requirement of when this site was constructed. If you look at that site, how everything is located in the center of that site, with the wooded area left all the, you know, around the perimeter, I think that was strategically done for a reason. And to just go in here now and take out trees that are 50 to 75 feet, you can't mimic that. You know, planting a new 8-foot tree near these homeowners' homes is not the same as having, you know, these large trees and these trees that are now, you know, 14, 15, some of these evergreen trees that have even had a 4 or 5 year head start, you know, it's, I don't think it's fair to them to have to start over when it was a requirement from when the building went in, it was a requirement from the West Wing parking lot went in. And again, nobody's disputing the fact that this is a noble project, but I think what has to be done is, I think, find a location where you have less of an impact to the surrounding neighbors.
Henry, can I ask you a question? That
sure.
That five panels that are closest to the homes, if you remove those five panels, do we have to cut any of these trees down?
Well, he's saying that some of these trees cause a shadow effect. I'd have to see.
I wasn't sure what he said on that.
But I'd have to see again. I mean,
as Mike. Mike, if you take the five panels out, do the five remaining work or not?
I'd have to see an exhibit that shows otherwise, but I think that the majority of the vegetation would be able to be saved if those panels were removed. He was talking about the panels. Mr. Thomas, you talked about the panels being too close to the loop road. If you look at your proposal for parking lots A and B, you're right up against the loop road. So I don't understand that commentary that putting the panels closer to the loop road on the West Wing parking lot is any different than putting the solar panels right up against the loop road on parking lots A and B. And I think you could create a structure, maybe it's a continuous structure similar to what you have in A and B that doesn't have gaps over the aisles, because you're gonna be high enough where I don't think it's an issue with the fire trucks being able to circulate underneath these arrays. But again, I think there needs to be a little bit more investigation and thought into perhaps alternative solutions. And if those five arrays can't be built, and I understand, you know, again, what Colgate's trying to accomplish, but again, I just don't think at the expense of the neighboring property owners. This picture right here, you could see almost the neighboring pool on the right side of this picture.
It's yeah, not the very right
more than 100 feet away, if not less, from where that parking lot is. And if you look at the other homes that are on the northern side of River Road, they're relatively close as well. So, again, I know there's some strategic issues, but, you know, again, without seeing an exhibit to see if these arrays are moved, what impact the existing vegetation has on the solar arrays and other, you know, the center of the parking lot, I couldn't tell you exactly. I guarantee you one thing, that the evergreen trees and all of the newly planted material along that edge would not have to be touched. There may be just a handful of the larger trees that may cast a shadow portions of the day. Again, you can see from this picture that the shadow is on there. So, you know, there may be 2 or 3, 4 trees that are cascading shadows to the center of that parking lot.
So that's not true. There's several trees. There's several trees which cast shadow on the site throughout the year. This is just a photograph just to show an example.
Okay.
To me,
Mr. Thomas, you're just making my point. So now there's several trees that are going to have to come down just to put solar panels in this area that are going to impact the neighboring homes. If it was maybe just a handful, I could see perhaps that's, you know, not that big of a deal. But again, there's the substantial amount of trees being removed from this project is in this area. And again, I just don't see the, you know, although the benefit again is a noble and a worthy one, I think the expense to the neighboring homeowners is too great.
Mr. Thomas, do we need to mark this aerial that you have just shown?
Yeah, this is just we could certainly do it. This is A9. This is just a Google aerial showing shade at one time of the year from the existing trees. Obviously, gotcha. It's not comprehensive because it doesn't follow the entire year, but it just gives an idea of what we're talking about.
Okay. Mr. Galacio, this is my 20th year on the zoning board, and I can read the temperature of the board pretty well. I would suggest that you get back to your reps at Colgate and come up. I just don't think we should pursue this anymore tonight, because I don't believe your application will be read favorably. for Colgate. So
if you'll grant me a few minutes to discuss with my client offline, we'll entertain that suggestion.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, would you like to do the resolutions?
Yes, why don't we do that? Sounds great.
Okay, the first resolution, Gola Centeno Almonte, on which you voted to approve. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
And Matusa Sunadana, which you voted to approve. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Next is Joel Correa, which you voted to approve. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mirando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Next is Nick Musumeci, which you voted to approve. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mirando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Next is Raul Alarcon, which you voted to approve. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mirando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Next is Neville Indar, which you voted to approve. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Finally, Yale Street Wrestling Club, which you voted to approve. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Those are all the resolutions I have for this evening.
Thank you.
You do number 10. The minutes.
Yeah, I'd like to see a motion to adopt the minutes from the regular meeting of May 11th, 2023. All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks.
Wait on number 11.
There's no number 11 yet.
Chairman, when the presentation was given that they would not provide any glare, I think you need to, whatever solution we get on this, the glare would be the most visible impact, and should be very specific. That it has to be a glare free.
I thank you, John. I agree. Also, I wish Mr. Weissman was here tonight because he could lend his expertise to some of the in-town fire issues that was brought up by the applicant. So another reason why I think this is a better move if we move this to a different date and have them sit with Henry between now and then.
Henry, I'll participate in that meeting.
This is all good, but the applicant's not here, so we really shouldn't be talking about the application.
Sorry about that.
Why don't we all take a 2-minute breather rather than just sit here and look at each other? All right, so you can go off camera for a minute or two, but let's reconvene in about 2 minutes.
That was a good break then, huh, Bill?
I wish I could share my
peanut butter pretzel.
They teasing us.
They should be illegal.
All right, Sandy. Yeah, it kind of went. No. No, it is.
Hello?
Sandy?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yep, we're ready to go back on the record, Mr. Keneally.
Laura, are we recording?
Yes.
Okay. All right, after after conferring with my client, we would like to hit the pause button and continue this at the next hearing. And in the interim, we'll have discussions with Mr. Hinterstein about what we can do to address his concerns.
I think that's a wise move on your behalf.
Very good move, Mr. Glossier.
Okay.
How long do you think you would need?
Depending on Mr. Hinterstein's schedule, you know, a couple weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Do we have a second meeting in June?
Yes, we have June 22nd, and then after that, we only have one in July, which is July 13th. But if there's revised plans, I would need them 10 days prior to the June 22nd meeting.
That'd be June 12th. Okay.
So you want the June 22nd meeting for now, and if you can't make that, we can adjourn that?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, do you want to continue this matter to June 22nd with no further notice by the applicant?
Absolutely.
Okay. Anybody in the public that's here in this matter, it's going to be carried to June 22nd, 2023, with no further notice by the applicant, so that the applicant can meet Mr. Hinterstein and discuss possible changes.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Glossier.
Thank you, Mr. Keneally. I appreciate it.
Good night, Mr. Glossier.
Yep. Good night. Thank you to the board. We appreciate it.
Thank you. So any residents that are on hold right now, your issues will be addressed at the June 22nd meeting, which has been set up. So the issues between the applicant and the township can be addressed. And your concerns are very important to us. So please tune back in on June 22nd. Let's move to item number 11. Make a motion for adjournment. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night. Thank you once again for your volunteering.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Everybody have a good weekend.
Good night, John.
Bye.